Mike Tomlin will address the media today at noon. You can hear it right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, following his reaction from Cook and Joe to the Mike Tomlin presser, Mike Tomlin presser reaction. There is also supposed to be a special announcement delivered by the Steelers today. It's at 3 p.m. What's it going to be? Really anybody's guess. Could be a decision on uniforms that the Steelers might wear. I don't think it's color rush, but maybe block numbers, throwbacks, playing against the Green Bay Packers. But overall, the AFC is deep. The AFC is pretty talented. If the season ended today, all four teams in the AFC North would make the playoffs. From the top, the Chiefs would receive the lone bye, 7-2 overall, first in the AFC West, number one seed. The Baltimore Ravens are also 7-2, leading the AFC North, would be the two seed. Jacksonville has had its bye, 6-2 on the year. Steeler fans know how good Jacksonville is. Six wins, two losses, first place in the AFC South. The Miami Dolphins lead the AFC East at 6-3. Now, the Dolphins, the realistic question has to be, how good is Miami? How good are the Dolphins? How good is Tua? You could go and slap the Denver Broncos and put up 70 and beat New England and beat the Chargers at the very start of the season. Okay. But when you lose by 28 to the Bills, who right now would miss the playoffs, and you lose by a couple scores to the Eagles, lose to the Chiefs in Germany, did shut out the Chiefs in the second half, but was trailing 21-0 at one point. Tyreek Hill fumbled and led to a touchdown for Kansas City that ended up being what amounted to the dagger as Kansas City's defense held on. Miami's wins are against the Chargers on the road week one. But did the Chargers really have a home field advantage at the Patriots, who might be tanking, two wins on the year? Bill Belichick would probably rather have Drake May or Caleb Williams than Mac Jones or anybody else that New England wants to deploy and claim to have as a good quarterback. 70-20 against the Denver Broncos. Denver is a tire fire. Yes, they beat Kansas City, but the Broncos aren't very good. That was at home in the 80-degree Miami heat, where Tua could sling it around against a Broncos team that, other than Pat Surtain, doesn't have much on defense. Even though Denver prides itself on defense, yes, Justin Simmons is also good, but Denver's got so many different problems. They started out 3-0. Then they lost to the Bills on the road. They beat the Giants. Congratulations, they're terrible. And the Carolina Panthers, who picked first overall in the draft, took Bryce Young. They beat him by 21. Then they beat the Patriots again. Again, congratulations on all your success, Miami. You were 6-2 going into the Chiefs game, now 6-3. Losses to Philadelphia, who many consider to be the best team in the NFC, and at the Chiefs. Also, at the Bills. Chiefs game being a neutral site in Germany. How good is Miami? Somebody's got to win the AFC East. Somebody's going to be at 3 or 4 games over 500 and win that division. Will it be Miami? Will it be Buffalo? Which team does not want to throw up on itself more? But the Steelers, Browns, Bengals are all in wild card position. If I had to buy stock on anybody right now to win the AFC North, it's the Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Burrow is clicking on all cylinders. He's healthy. He looks good. Defensively, Cincinnati also solid. The Bengals had a big win against Buffalo Sunday Night Football, where Cincinnati from the get-go had everything going. Early touchdown, wouldn't let Buffalo get the lead. Cincinnati's fourth in the AFC North right now because they started off not on the right foot, 1-2 overall. And the Browns, You know, we can hate on the Browns as much as we want from Pittsburgh. How great of a football team are they? Their defense is top three in the league. They might be the best defensive team in the NFL right now, maybe? Top defenses right now. Browns, Steelers, Ravens, no particular order, San Francisco. But in the AFC, you're talking Steelers, you're talking Browns, and you're talking Ravens. Pretty solid defensively, and that's what's guiding the AFC right now. Solid defensive play, and when you look at the bottom of the conference, New England's there in the bottom of the AFC. Pretty unique and interesting to see. Let's go out to the phone lines. What's up? You're on the Fan.
Good morning, Austin. This is Roland from Castle Shannon. How
What's
are you?
Up, Roland? I'm great.
Austin, here's what's going to go down. Steelers are going to score over 30 points against Green Bay. They're going to find something with this offense. Now that they got the running game going, Deontay Johnson's confidence is coming back. Pickens, Calvin's not being utilized properly. There's only two games they're going to lose the rest of the season, including the playoffs. Those two games are at Cincinnati and at Baltimore, the last game. Seattle's not turned out to be a tough team. They're going to find their groove. They went 7-2 after their first eight games last year. They need Minka back. They need Moose back. This team is going to go on a roll, and there's an anger and a frustration that's building. It's going to turn into positive things, and they're going to celebrate, and everybody's going to do it for Matt Canada when they win their seventh Super Bowl.
So you think they're going to win the Super Bowl, Roland?
Do I think?
What gives you confidence in the offense being able to put together sustainable drives to make that happen?
Kenny started stepping up in the pocket. He's watching tape. The guy's indestructible. Did you hear him tell everybody, I'm playing? He didn't defer to Tomlin. He is livid right now. You know what he's livid at? He's livid at himself. You know what Pickens is livid at? He's livid at himself for not toe-tapping. These guys are perfectionists, just like me.
Roland, I appreciate the call. Well, I hope he's watching tape, unlike the Kyler Murray contract where it was originally and then kind of negated that he needed to watch tape, needed to get out there and do everything he needed to do outside of the practice field. Remember Johnny Manziel did not watch whatsoever any tape? Not comparing those two, but yeah, of course Kenny Pickett's watching tape. Of course he's mad at himself for the way that he's played in the first half of games. He's been solid in the second half of games, and that's what's important. What's most important is that you can ball out in the fourth quarter. And with the Steeler defense the way that it is, see, here's the thing about Baltimore. They've beaten up on teams in the NFC that have not played much against Lamar Jackson. How much of a thing is that? How much should we really talk about and look into that? Think about Baltimore. Blown out Seattle, 37-3. Beat the Cardinals, a little bit of a close call on the road. Crushed the Lions at home. They've beaten a bad Tennessee team. They lost to the Colts. They got the Bengals at the right time early in the season, and they got the Texans at the right time early in the season. Yeah, the Steelers lost to them in week 3, but that was a Texans team with C.J. Stroud making his first career start. The Texans played Baltimore right now. That's a much closer game. It is. It's a much closer game. 412-928-9370. I'll take one more call before we get to the Pirates. You're on the Fan. And the call's gone. Let's talk Pirates next because MLB free agency is here. And a couple of names were pointed out by The Athletic and MLB trade rumors as potential options for the Buccos that honestly, if they make these moves, could bring Bucktober back in 2024. Yeah, not being too overly optimistic, I think it's realistic if some of these guys are added on reasonable contracts. It's the Fan Early Morning Show, 937 The Fan. A couple interesting names posed by MLB trade rumors before we go about who the Pittsburgh Pirates could sign in free agency. MLB trade rumors is predicting a 3-year, $40 million deal for former Cardinals and Baltimore Orioles starter Jack Flaherty. One team being included, the Pittsburgh Pirates. A couple others, the Royals and the Tigers, that with potentially opt-outs involved after the first year or the second year as well. That's one. Sean Manaea, two-year, $22 million deal. Pirates also speculated to potentially be in on that one as well. Jason Hayward, a two-year, $16 million deal from MLB Trade Rumors, regarded as the 42nd best free agent. I don't know about that one. That really wouldn't make sense. It would be a defensive move, and the Pirates don't need to spend $8 million on somebody just to play defense. Even though, yeah, it'd be nice if you could just make it like softball, like a designated player, and have Henry Davis hit and Jason Hayward just play the field for him and also have a designated hitter. Brandon Belt, one-year, $15 million deal. So it's being speculated by MLB Trade Rumors as the 45th best free agent, being rumored potentially to the Pirates. And The Athletic has listed some of the best fits for Rhys Hoskins, Mike Clevenger, and Tim Anderson. Hoskins of the Phillies, who did not play last season. Clevenger, a starting pitcher, has been solid, played for San Diego. Tim Anderson, whose option was not picked up by the White Sox. Those are all decent names. Solid names that have not been really surrounding the Pirates in years. Solid free agents that could be signed by the team. Now it's time to fork up the money. It's time to pay up for any of those guys. Some of them are buy low guys, but ones with high ceilings. The floor isn't very high, but high ceiling, decently low floor if they get hurt and don't play well. But Tim Anderson's a really good player. Rhys Hoskins is solid when he's on the field. Why not try to give Sean Manaea a contract and play it out? Jack Flaherty, I think, would be a good move to buy low. Talk about much more coming up. Pre-show's next on The Fan.